This morning I talked on the subject of what everybody ought to know about America. And since this is the 4th of July and we're celebrating the birth of this nation of ours, I want to continue on this evening with another message of the same caliber, the reflections of America, past, present, and future. Shall we bow our heads as we pray and get ready to preach this word of God? Father, thank you in Jesus' name for all those that are here tonight. Bless them in a special way. Speak to their heart. Prepare them for the message. And we'll be sure and give you the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This message tonight is titled, Reflections of America, Past, Present, and Future. The text for it is found in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I'm going to say a lot about America today, tonight. There may say be some things that you may get a little bit upset with when I report them. But don't get mad at me now. Stay with me, because I'm going to tell you the truth. And because to me, I've served in World War II for 3 years in Europe. And I know what it's all about from that standpoint. And I know that America is the greatest country in the world. And I wouldn't trade it for all the countries of the world, as far as I'm concerned. To begin with, let me say this. Have you ever watched a meteorite flash across the sky? Often I've seen this, especially in my younger days. It lasts only a few seconds, but you're awestruck by its momentary brilliance. In the history of man, a multitude of nations also have flashed across the span of history, fading suddenly into oblivion, another empire, another kingdom dumped into the ashes of defeat. But when our founding fathers put their names to the Declaration of Independence, they believed that this nation would be different. This nation, they believed, would stand the test of time. But as you know, liberty and justice does not come cheap. In a short span of 200 years since the birth of this great nation of ours, thousands upon thousands of American young men have shed their blood on the various battlefields of the world. And if the Lord should tarry, this will not be the end. There will be more bloodshed on other battlefields of the world. God has said in His Word, there shall always be wars and rumors of wars. You see, God knows the heart of man and what he's capable of, and often what he does without consulting the Lord at all. 200 years ago, when the Declaration of Independence was finally drawn up, after hours of agony, both of the mind and the heart, and above all, prayer and guidance, and after 13 more years of deep reflection and heart searching, that same Declaration of Independence gave birth to the Bill of Rights. It was an uncompromising bill that guaranteed the rights of every American. Today, we have surpassed the 200-year mark in our existence as a nation, and we are still number one. But in light of present-day happenings, I believe that every American should take the time to reflect upon what has been handed down to him in the form of a legacy. And I believe if America is to remain great, then we need to reshape our values and rededicate our lives to keeping America free with liberty and justice for all. We must face our failures as well as our successes, and then with a renewed hope, building our truth, justice, and freedom on this Word of God, so that our hope should be built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness, for all other ground is sinking sand. So first, we need to look at the foundation of our nation and how we have built upon it. This evening, let's go back to the Declaration of Independence. Who were these men who attached their signatures to this declaration, and what was the quality of their character? These had to be brave men, for they knew the cost of their action meant their very life if they got caught. But like the Christians of the first century, they were ready to die if need be. They were ready to die for what they believed to be right, just, and good. And at that time, theirs was a spirit that sustained men and shaped the beginning of this great nation of ours. And they understood thoroughly the importance of a solid foundation. Now, if you ask any engineer of any large suspension bridge, and he will tell you that the cables for that bridge is deeply embedded in solid rock in order to withstand the strain that's put upon them. That same principle was recognized by our founding fathers, for they knew that God alone was the sure foundation upon which any nation should build if they hoped to endure the centuries to follow. The sovereignty of God was deeply rooted in the American spirit from the very beginning, because our forefathers believed that all values worth living for came from God above. They looked to God as a source of true wisdom. And they, like Job of old, ask, "Whence then cometh wisdom?" They believed God's answer, "Behold, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." For 200 years now, we have been building on that foundation. But now the question is, how have we been building? What kind of a material have we used? We can quickly point out our unbelievable growth and our productivity which has come about through our God-given talents. And yes, we can talk about the remarkable leadership in scientific research, plus our astounding progress in space exploration, not to mention our military might that is second to none. And we could be thankful for our freedom of religion that enables us to openly worship our God. We could say, thank God for the freedom to openly share our deepest convictions. And we could thank God for our part in helping the needy all around the world. Our forefathers, no doubt, saw history as an opportunity for improvement for those who followed in their footsteps. And all of us here can take pride in being Americans. But I've long since found out that there are always two sides to every question, to every nation, and to every person. And in spite of our tremendous achievements, there are currently within our nation those things that threaten our future. Because on every hand today, I'll set that aside, it's in a way. In spite of this tremendous achievements, as I said, that threaten our future, on every hand today, we see the effects of deterioration. Crime continues to rise, and the families are disintegrating, and political corruption is rampant. And today, we are experiencing something new. Life seems to be losing its meaning as well as its purpose, simply because for the first time, people feel threatened and insecure with a feeling of helplessness to do anything about it. Something, what it is, we're not sure, but something is shaking the foundation of America and threatens its very existence. And the question is, what has brought about that kind of a situation? First, I believe it is a change in our educational system. Our schools and universities were all founded on Christian principles. But now the Word of God has been outlawed in our public schools and replaced by studies of satanic origin. The God of creation has been replaced by many schools by a God of evolution. And generation after generation is being given nothing to believe in, so that now we are beginning to reap the results. The world that we live in today rushes from crisis to crisis, and an anti-supernaturalistic philosophy is being taught to our students in our high schools, our universities and colleges, where God is denied and man is defied. Yes, we are living in a day of deception, and communism no longer needs to worry about world opinion. H.G. Wells once said, just before he died, "This is the last generation." And then William Boughton, another great man of God, made this statement. He said, "This is the end of history as we know it." And neither one of these men claimed to know Christ as their own personal Savior. The political arena is also shaking. America's foundation, with its decline in corruption, has been swept into a wave of moral blackwash, so that scandals and bribes and cover-ups and payoffs seemingly are the order of the day. And our nation in general has departed from Christian principles, and life has been increasingly devalued. Over hundreds and hundreds of babies every year, in defiance to God's word, are being murdered by abortion. Violent crimes and against people continues to rise so fast that you know it's not safe to walk the streets at night and someplace in the daytime. Very few today can or will face up to the reality of our danger and our situation. No doubt this is why untold millions, or multitudes perhaps would be a better word there, are turning to alcohol or drugs as a form of escape. But there is no real escape for these things. In fact, they only become a new form of enslavement and a source of deeper despair, whose end is the devil's hell. I could stand up here this evening and mention other causes, but let's stop here for a moment and consider the heart of the problem. The basic reason for the crisis faces America today is that we have allowed the foundation upon which our country was built to crumble. We have turned our back upon God and His Word. We have rejected His authority and gone our own way. You see, the basic human sin is religion. It's rebellion against God and His Word. From the beginning of time, man has sought his own will in opposition to God's will. This fundamental sin was behind the disobedience of Adam and Eve. This was the same sin that destroyed the moral integrity of Israel, as well as the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is behind our own self-centered existence today. There is a popular slogan for this generation that says, "If it feels good, do it. In the name of God, surely we need a deeper reason for living our lives like that." We have the same crowd that propagates, "Everything is relative. If you're satisfied, go ahead and do it." But such thinking only leads to tragedy. Because God has not been consulted. However, great as our nation is and has been, with all its advances in the field of science and medicine technology, it cannot go on in rebellion against God's word and God's standards without inviting God's judgment. There are seven sins that are destroying our nation today. And unless, as a nation, we do an about-face, we too will end up in the ashes of defeat and despair. Those seven sins are politics without principle, pleasure without a conscience, knowledge without work, wages without labor, business without morality, science without humanity, and worship without sacrifices. Now, the question before us today in our generation is, what can we do? What part can we play in bringing America back to God as it should be? I believe we must first of all begin with ourselves. Not our neighbor, not our relatives, right down to the ground, ourselves. How do I need to be changed? How can I be changed? Now, I'm not talking about a reformation of self. You see, trying to reform yourself only gets us into deeper problems. We must be changed by a higher power than ourselves. This world we live in has already offered to us communism and materialism and the voice of theologians, economists, and politicians. They have already spoken their piece. But still, we are no better off. Hear me now. The same source of power that transforms the butterfly, or the caterpillar, I should say, from a crawling worm into a beautiful butterfly, is the same source of power that can make saints out of sinners and give them a new life in Jesus Christ. Now, this word of God is truth. It tells the truth. And this Bible says, speaking on behalf of this pastor and many of you, and I'm sure all of you, this Bible says that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. It also tells us we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he also tells us there's none good. No, not one. And because of this, every person is under God's condemnation. Yet despite that fact, we have a loving God who is not willing that any should perish, because he put into motion his plan. God provided us the way of salvation by placing our condemnation upon his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ bore all of our sins, everyone, I don't care how bad they are or how many. He bore our sins on that old rugged cross. But despite God's great sacrifice, many would rather believe they don't need God's way, and that we're good enough. We can change ourselves. And Satan, the great deceiver, tries every day of our life to convince us we don't need God. We can handle our own problems. But history has already proved Satan wrong. The important question is, what will you and I do with Jesus, who's called the Christ? In this message, I've not told any of you anything new. You all have eyes to see with. You have ears to hear. And you know as well as I do, if you read your newspapers and listen to the news over the radio and television, that the foundations of America are shaking, crumbling. Because we have rebelled against God in our private lives as well as a nation. But there is hope for America if we will repent from our old ways and turn back to God. Proof of the pudding is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will they hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. What more can you and I say than that? And my friend, it's not too late. Israel, at the time of Christ, had reached its lowest ebb of spiritual and moral decline, and at that time, the whole world was in a state of corruption. They even stooped to the greatest sin of all sins. They crucified the Lord of glory. And yet, it was out of this nation that Christ called 12 apostles, perhaps the greatest men who ever lived, and they began his church. Beloved, we are still in the same dispensation. The Holy Spirit of God has not changed. God's principles have not changed his purposes. They have not been revised, and his Bible has not been defeated. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to all men. We still have men today who stand up for the truth and proclaim the gospel of God's grace and do so without apology. That's the way it should be. The Holy Spirit still stands ready to back up his word and use his servants. And God's promises are still in the book. And he's simply waiting for his children to pick up the ball, run with it. You see, it's all up to us. What we do with Jesus will determine the final outcome of ourselves and this nation we live in. My friend, I don't know about you, but I believe with all my heart America is worth living in. And if it's worth living in, it's worth standing up for. And the only way you can do that is to live for Jesus Christ. That's my message in a nutshell tonight. Live for Christ. Put Him first place in your life, and you'll see changes take place in this world, in this city, and your family as you never thought possible. Tonight, I challenge every one of you to come to this altar and ask God to change your life and make it everything it should be. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. It's true. It's right down the line. It speaks to our heart. It's real. The big problem is us. Oftentimes, we're disobedient to the Word. And as a result, God has to take a hand and make us go in a different direction. Oh God, tonight, help each one of us to see ourselves as God sees us. And then be willing to make whatever change needs to be taking place in our lives. And I'll be sure and give you the praise for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.